Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Hi, I'm Sandra from Yarra Junction Library, and you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And being the first Wednesday of the month, I've got to get my days right, between 1 and 2, it's time for our private eye, and it's really terrific to have him back, and he's committed he's going to be here for this year, so that's really terrific. So happy New Year, Peter, and I hope you had a great Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year to you, Alan, and your listeners, and, fairly relaxing Christmas, New Year period.
Sounds terrific to me. So obviously there weren't a lot of crooks around or the people you deal with were behaving themselves.
No, we had a bit of had one particular case that took a few weeks to solve, and there was quite a bit of time and effort put into that. So, no, I don't think crime didn't stop.
It never does. Peter, we sent you off last year. We had a couple of inquiries from listeners, and we do encourage listeners if they've got any. We've already got a couple of forums for next month to bring back to us, but if you've got any things that you want just to ask Peter or that he can go away and search out for you for the next month, give us a yell on 59 615 99 59 615 99. Greg's sitting out there in the office. We've got to keep him busy. No, he really is busy, but he's still there to take your calls. Peter, the first one, I think we were talking about offenders.
Yes, the question was whether we could identify the riskiest postcodes when it comes to offenders in Melbourne or Victoria.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find out any specific data on that, but I did find some overall data which I thought might be of interest, in that there was 374,645 offenders processed by police in Australia for the 2019-2020 financial year. And what that meant was actually a 5% decrease from the 2018-19 financial year, and indeed the lowest overall since 2008-2009. And specific to Victoria, the number of offenders was down by 2,809, which was about a 31% decrease.
Gee, that's good. Well, that was prior to COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah. And to reinforce something we spoke about last year, again, the stats show that 75% of the offenders were male, and the median age of offenders was 30 years of age.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah, the median, so the average, the highest bracket, though, was broken into five-year periods. The highest bracket was age 15 to 19, and there was basically a steady and consistent decline for every five-year age bracket after that.
True. Peter, probably unfair question to ask you without notice, but that 75 for male, 25 for female, would the 25% for the female be not as serious as the males? I mean, do you find that there are more, that the guys do not only more crimes, but they're more serious crimes?
Oh, I suspect that would be the case, but again, I don't have any specific data on that. Yeah.
Peter, we were talking about corporate crime too. What about figures on that?
Yes, you're asking me what the value of corporate crime was in Australia. Yep. And again, I couldn't find any specific information that actually gave me a raw number. Obviously, there's been some recent royal commissions into banking, insurance and corporate in general. And I do notice ASIC are tightening up their laws for being a director of a company. You've actually got to do your 100 points identification now. So that's an interesting development coming up in the next 6 months. But I did find in my research, I found some data out of the United states, which I thought might give us a few interesting points. One was that the FBI reports white-collar crime in the USA is worth over $300 billion per annum.
$300 billion?
Yeah, $300 billion.
Gee.
And some of the interesting points that came out of that, historical data, which is, I think it was a period of 7 years going back to around about 2018 off the top of my head, was saying only 7% of the offenders were female.
Sure, yep. So, would that be mainly because the females aren't in the upper, or, you know, the glass ceiling we talk about? Would it be that they're sort of in lower jobs where they can't sort of get away with as much, or is it just that the guys are worse crooks?
Yeah, I think that's probably an element of that. The glass ceiling probably does limit their access to the to funds, perhaps. 75% of offenders were white males, remembering, of course, this is USA data.
Yep.
62% married, 50% owned their own home, and 50% had a university degree.
Gee. Gee, that's amazing, because you would think that the person with the university degree would get off their backside and get a job, wouldn't you, and earn some money.
Well, I mean, I think this is what they're saying, though. It's white-collar crime. They've got their educated to an extent, and they've got themselves into a position of power, I guess, and only to abuse that power. 94% of white-collar perpetrators are the only criminals in their family, which is, I was quite intrigued by that one. And the average age, or the median age as we call it, is 41 years.
True. Peter, somebody asked me, and I'm going to ask you, and it's, again, this might be a bit hard to... You do a bit, well, not so much with shoplifters, but that in the shops, don't you? Is it true or not that when a shoplifter is picked up, that very often they've got more money on them that they could pay for what they've shoplifted? Do you know that, whether that's true or not?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I probably would lean towards the fact that they probably don't have a lot of money, hence the reason why they're shoplifting to try and get some money. I think, unfortunately, people with drug habits get caught into quite a vicious cycle of trying to shoplift and gain some money on a daily basis, which unfortunately then they shoot up their arm or consume in some other form. I haven't specifically noticed people when they've been apprehended, and obviously they kind of empty out their pockets and everything, that not very often are they putting wads of dollar notes on the counter.
The only reason why I said, somebody said that they, or this person asked me to ask you, they thought that maybe if they were stealing for attention, you know, sometimes a wife who or a woman who's not getting the attention they would like, that sometimes they steal, they don't need to steal, it's more a call for attention. But is that at all possible, or is the person wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's definitely something that can happen, and it can escalate to the point where they almost want to get caught. I probably tend not to deal necessarily with people of that ilk. It's more about the serial offender that commits fraud or stealing or shop theft every day, again, usually to support the drug habit. We did have one interesting one quite a few years back. It was a male offender who was obsessed with a particular brand of fan, as in, blowing cold air.
Yeah.
And when he was eventually apprehended, he had, I think it was about 85 boxes of these fans in his car. And it was some sort of obsession that that his challenge for the day was to steal one or two of these fans every day.
Gee, you'd wonder why, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he didn't need them, obviously, and they were all in his vehicle, so it was just some sort of, well, I don't know what you'd call it, almost a disease, Alan, that it just, he got caught up in the excitement of it.
He was looking for a fan base.
Yeah, very good.
Peter, if you'd like any questions asked for Peter, remember he's a private detective. Probably our concept of, as I've said to Peter before, is a flashy car, a blonde, the red sports car, the roof down and away you go. Peter tells me that's not true, but I'm not sure. But anyway, if you've got any questions you want to ask of Peter between now and 2 o'clock, give us a quick ring. We've got Greg out there doing nothing. We need to get him working. Give us a ring on 59-615-991. Only too happy to ask Peter. Peter, one question we have had, everybody blames COVID for everything. Has COVID had any effect on the either way you do business or the cases that you've found comes in because of COVID?
Oh, absolutely. It's, as everyone refers to, we're all talking about what the new normal was going to be, yep. Hoping that the new normal would be well and truly established by now. However, I think still with variants coming up and, you know, children going back to school and things like that, there's so much uncertainty out there. Yep. I think the economy is really slowing down and that's going to bite. In the upcoming months, and there might even be, you know, interest rates might even be raised slightly, which, you know, is going to have another knock-on effect.
Yep.
So, no, absolutely, the kind of work I'm doing, what I'm doing and how I'm doing it is completely turned on its head, and you certainly have to adapt and be willing to embrace change and a different way of doing things. As do the people that I'm working for, my clients. You know, my main corporate client, that's looking a lot different. So, yeah, over the last 2 years all up, it's been an absolute turnaround in the way that things are being done.
So you wouldn't have thought in your case that it would have made much of a difference, would you? I personally would have thought that life would have just gone on the same.
It's a little bit about methodology. I think the level of crime probably hasn't changed significantly. The type of offenders hasn't necessarily changed a lot. I mean, obviously, at some periods, stores have either been closed or it's pickup only. In fact, currently, you know, some stores, some retailers are actually reducing their hours just purely because of staff shortages. So I think there's a lot of corporates are under pressure. A lot of retailers are under pressure. And I think I actually summarised that in a post I put up on Facebook about, you know, the sacrifice businesses are making to stay open to serve you. So, you know, be conscious of that and be respectful of you know, businesses are facing staff shortages. They're doing their best to keep their customers, their staff and their families safe and their businesses open in order to serve, you know, us as the general public. And I think we touched on this last year that there's so much abuse and disrespect towards retail.
It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. And I noticed while I was away over Christmas that there were signs up some of the stores saying, particularly a restaurant I wanted to go to, they said, well, we won't be open this night and that night. We just can't get enough staff, but we'll be open this night and that night. But to take it out on shop assistants, who are very often young people anyway, is just absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, and I see McDonald's have been caught up in the thing about the breaks and not giving the staff their breaks and offering them a fizzy drink instead of taking the mandatory break. So I think they got themselves into a bit of a strife with that.
Peter, I'll get you to write these down because we'll get you to do a little bit of work on them for next week. And it's just coincidence that we were just talking about COVID then. We've actually had two people ask me questions leading up to today, and they're both, of course, they're both on COVID, so you could back that in. But they're both in down the same line. They want to know whether there's been an increase in shoplifting in the last 2 years over what it was prior years. And the other thing too, and I know you don't do a lot of insurance work, but has there been an increase in insurance fraud or attempted fraud in the last 2 years since COVID struck?
Okay, so the first one, shoplifting, or what we would term as overall shrinkage.
Yeah, that's it, yep.
Shrinkage is the word that's generally used. I don't have any numbers on that.
So could you do that for us for next month?
Yeah, what I do know is that a lot of retailers have obviously experienced actual increase, quite significant increases in turnover, a few in particular.
Right.
So I suspect even if the shrinkage has stayed the same, it's actually a lower percentage because turnover's gone up.
Right.
Now, the insurance fraud one, again, I don't have any specific data, but what I do know is that people that claims for things like income protection and claims along those lines, loss of business, loss of a lot of things, they have most certainly skyrocketed. And one of the trends, unfortunately, that's been the reason for the claim, it has basically been mental health related issues. So
pretty much. Do you reckon for next month you can just have a look and see particularly more fraud rather than the claims against, genuine reasons?
Yeah, look, definitely. And I think insurance companies would probably be flooded with claims per se, and whether they're actually how and whether they're investigating them, that they may or may not have the time at the moment.
Peter, what have you got? Have you got something you can tell us about, something, a bit of a funny case you've had, or doesn't have to be funny, whatever you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, sure. So I had a case a little while ago with my client was a lady, as they most often are, sort of along the husband and wife cheating type thing, although I think this was a boyfriend-girlfriend scenario.
Yep.
And the boyfriend was making every excuse not to spend his birthday with her.
Oh.
And so therefore she got a little bit suspicious and employed me to keep tabs on him, and followed him from his home that evening to a restaurant. I think it was out Cranbourne Way, as I remember rightly, and only to be found being quite cosy with another female in the restaurant.
Sure.
So obviously I rang the client to let her know what was going on, and she, in quite a loud voice, said, "I'm on my way." So I did the less than courageous thing and got out of town very quickly before she got there. So never heard any more about that, but I suspect he might have got a glass of water or a slap across the face or something along those lines.
Probably served him right. Peter, that brings another point that I'll ask you. You just brought up something. These where they're having an affair. All right, so they've got an affair and it's going on all year round. Comes Christmas time, the boy, the husband, and I'm talking now the husband having the affair, but it could be the woman. I don't want to discriminate, but what's it? Well, it could be either, yeah. All right, they're having an affair. Comes to Christmas time, they're not going to work. Wifey's at home, they're both at home. Very often they go away on a holiday. They got the kids and the wifey away. I've heard, and I'd like you to tell me whether this is true or not, that sometimes the extra woman, the woman that he's having an affair with, gets pretty peed off because she's sitting at home on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day and all this, and he's off having a great time with his family. Is that true, or is that just an urban myth?
I would suspect that on the whole that the third party, the female that you allude to, probably would have her own family commitments during that period as well. So maybe not as big a factor than what you think, but I do get the gist of what you're saying. One of the things that I can, that is probably something to be wary of, is if there's been a prolonged absence in respect to the two sides of the affair getting together, when the first opportunity arises, they tend to be super keen to get back together again. So that's a bit of a pointer from my perspective, is that when might the first opportunity present for them to catch up, and that would be a good time to be monitoring either side of that relationship. Yeah,
Peter, you've had quite a bit of experience, obviously, in this sort of, with affairs and all that sort of stuff. What's the general reason why all of a sudden the third party wants to end that affair? Or is it that it's just peters out, they get sick of it? or do they get sick of seeing the guy behind his wife's back, or and this whole relationship sort of being in the background? Do you know why all of a sudden that these affairs end?
Yeah, there could be an element of that, I suppose, where, I mean, probably more in TV shows and movies that, you know, he says he's going to leave the wife and never does, and, you know, things get more and more tense from that point of view. Probably what I see more often is, though, that the wife gets a whiff of what's going on and perhaps gets the confirmation through someone like myself that there is something happening. Generally, by the time they contacted someone like me, they've got a bit of an idea who the third party might be, and, you know, it could be a work colleague, it could even be a sister, things along those lines. So what happens is, of course, it all busts up. The husband's confronted with irrefutable evidence. The trend that I see is that for some reason men seem to be very good at ingratiating themselves back into the relationship or continuing the relationship. You've touched on the fact that quite often that will happen for the sake of the children. Yep. And then I think I've alluded to this before, that leads to me getting a surprising amount of repeat business, because after 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, the male starts to wander again and very often resumes the same affair with the same third party.
Fair dinkum.
Yep.
Peter, the other question is, it takes two to tango, but what percentage male to female would be the one who started the affair? Does the husband or the boyfriend go looking first, or out of the ones you've seen, or is it the wife goes looking first?
If you're asking me whether the male plays up more often than the female...
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking, yeah.
I see significantly more males. I work, as I've mentioned before, I work almost predominantly for the female, trying to yep. catch the male out, and I'm more comfortable with that side of the equation. As I've alluded to in the past, I've never had a female wrong yet in 30
years. Fair dinkum. Petey, we're talking about you've done 35 years of particularly working with women where they think the husband's had an affair and all that. You said that you followed this guy down to a restaurant somewhere down Cranbourne Way. What's the funniest place you've ever found a guy and had to ring up and his partner or whoever and said, this is where they are?
Yeah, the funniest, I mean, we've had a few parks, a football ground and things along those lines. I've had a couple there. Been reasonably fortunate at times that... they've met up at a restaurant, you know, with the nice big front windows, and I've been able to get in a position to shoot some, you know, quite clear footage and things like that. Other times can be a bit frustrating because they go into, you know, someone's home and obviously you've got limited access there, and all you can hope for on that occasion is the walk out to the car and maybe the lingering kiss as one party gets into the vehicle to drive off.
Have you ever had a client ask you to be there when they did the confrontation? You said before you shot through. Have you ever been asked with a client to stay there while they confronted the person?
No, that's never actually happened. I probably would be reasonably reluctant to get involved, but no, I've actually never been privy to that conversation, which I could imagine would be fairly awkward.
It'd be pretty tough going, wouldn't it? And I guess we're not suggesting that people should have affairs. It's probably one of the silly things you do. If you've decided that you really don't want to be in a relationship, you should finish that relationship before you start another one, shouldn't you?
Yeah, look, I agree with that. But I think there's some other elements there. We touched on the children aspect and that there are relationships that stay together for the sake of the children per se. And I think, unfortunately, I don't want to put the blame always on the male, but there is that element of the hunter-gatherer sort of element.
I think there should be.
The male side of it.
Peter, unfortunately, I've got to get going in a couple of minutes so that we can let Greg come in and clean up after me before with this COVID. Peter, if you could just have a look at those statistics, if there any are available, as to whether COVID has seen an increase, particularly in insurance alleged fraud and shoplifters? I mean, both people would like an answer if it's possible. Now, it's maybe not possible, but I don't know. Peter, I guess you're open again. You're all raring to go for another 12 months?
Yeah, look, it looks that way. Again, there's limitations and permutations as to the way you've got to go about things, and you've got all these protocols now with, you've got to check that people have had their third dose now, we're up to. Yep. I'm just about due to have my third dose. So, yeah, you've got to worry about all that distancing just general... general conduct out in the big bad world.
Well, apart from that, you want to look after yourself too, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think I... Well, I've been, touch wood, been fortunate so far. Had a couple of near misses and a couple of scares, but obviously the objective is to try to delay as long as possible, I guess, the inevitable.
Peter, unfortunately, I've got to go. It's been fantastic having you on again. We will talk to you again as we get on through the year.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for your time.
No worries, mate. We'll see you next month.
Over and out.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Bye.